I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. This week we have another obscure show for which little information seems to be available. The program is called Radio Reader's Digest, and the sponsor was Hallmark Greeting Cards. The programs that are available indicate that it was on the air from 1943 to 1948. Each episode was a radio version of a story that had originally appeared in Reader's Digest magazine. The shows were heartwarming and sentimental, as you would expect from Reader's Digest and Hallmark Cards. This episode tells the story of the romance between Mark Twain and Olivia Langdon. It's called He Fell in Love with a Picture, and it originally aired on October 17, 1946.
Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you the love story of one of America's finest writers, starring one of America's finest actors, William Powell. For more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the people who create Hallmark cards. They have come to know the kind of cards you really want. That's why Hallmark cards are America's favorite greeting cards. The kind of card you can be proud to send. That's why the words "a Hallmark card" on the back of the card you choose tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. You can find Hallmark cards that say what you want to say the way you want to say it. So when you want to send the very finest, be sure to look in the back for the identifying words "a Hallmark card." And now to preside over the Hallmark program this evening, here's a young man well known to Broadway, both as actor and producer, Richard Calmer.
Thanks, Tom Shirley, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Usually we think of William Powell as a smooth, sophisticated, and witty gentleman, modern as tomorrow's newspaper. But tonight's Hallmark drama places Mr. Powell in the role of a greatly loved American personality who was modern in nothing but his thinking. Our story is a true one. These people lived. These things happened. And it's a kind of tribute to both the American spirit of determination and the American sense of humor that tonight's story turned out to be a happy one. The Hallmark program is proud to present William Powell as the great American writer Mark Twain in He Fell in Love with a Picture by Louis B. Davidson. Mountain-high waves tossed up the little steamer Quaker City and hurled her down again one stormy night on the Atlantic back in 1866. In his cabin on the Quaker City, Samuel Clemens was trying to keep his things in orderly arrangement as the ship tossed and rolled. He was having a pretty tough time of it when, above the roar of the crashing waves, he heard another sound.
Oh, yes. Come in. Come in. Who be you? Ghost of Hamlet's father?
No, Mr. Clemens, it's me, Charles Langdon. Don't you recognize me?
Well, not with that white sheet wrapped around you. You give me an imitation of Julius Caesar?
The porthole of my safe room broke open and the waves washed in. All my clothes, everything I own is waterlogged.
Well, what little dryness I have, I'm willing to share.
Well, thank you, sir.
You can sleep here for the night if you don't snore. To me, snoring is an egotist's way of making his presence felt even when he's asleep.
Oh, I don't snore, sir. Very kind of you. Oh.
What was that you dropped?
Just a little picture, nothing really.
Yeah, I get it. Well, nothing you say.
Well, it's only... Why, what's the matter, Mr. Clemens?
This thing you dropped, a miniature of a girl. Why, it's the most beautiful painting I've ever seen.
Why, she's my sister.
You mean that you have a sister as beautiful as this?
Most people say she's even more beautiful.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Please, sir, may I have the picture back?
Well, yes, of course, but tell me, Charles, where did you say you lived?
Elmira, New York.
Oh, yes, that's right. Your family's always lived there.
Oh, yes, sir. Father owns the biggest coal company in Elmira.
I see, and your sister? She lives...
Why, of course, Olivia's always lived in Elmira, too.
Olivia. Her name's Olivia.
Well, that has a classic quality.
Mr. Clemens, the picture
Charles, does Olivia have any steady bones?
The most eligible young men of Elmira are always calling at the house.
Yes, of course, but she just wouldn't marry any man who came along. No. A girl as lovely as Olivia should be entitled to something better, don't you think, Charles?
Why, of course.
She might prefer a man who's traveled abroad, who's seen the world, who, perhaps one who writes. Now, that's a nice idea. She might like a writer, don't you think?
Well, really, I've never heard her say, Mr. Clemens, the picture...
You know, it's almost impossible to believe that any girl could be so lovely. Her eyes, are they really as blue as they appeared in this picture?
Oh, yes. Mr. Clemens, please, it's pretty late already, and I'd like to get some sleep.
Sleep? At such a time? When this very ship might be cracking under it?
You really think she's liable to crack?
Charles, I've been the pilot of many a riverboat, and I know when a craft's in danger. But we have to be ready for anything that might happen.
Yes, I understand that now.
Well, good. Well, now, Charles, as long as we have to remain awake, shall we talk about Olivia?
Sam, you've got to go on this lecture tour. I've already made the commitments.
Then unmake them.
But the whole country is waiting to hear Mark Twain, waiting to meet the man who wrote Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer. You can't let them down.
Can't let you down, you mean? Since the percentage of my fees belongs to you, Frank, you can't wait for me to get started. You don't have to go from city to city smiling at fat dowagers, listening to them cluck over you. But I do. Except I won't do it.
You've got to. And I'm not speaking as your agent now, but as your friend.
I'm not going.
But why?
Because I'm going to Elmira.
Elmira? In heaven's name, what can you do in Elmira?
See Olivia.
Olivia? Who's Olivia?
The most beautiful girl who ever lived. The woman I love.
You mean you're going to get married?
I don't know.
Oh, I see. She hasn't given you her answer yet.
Answer? I haven't asked her.
Well, I'll tell you what. You write to her and ask her. If she accepts, then you can plan to make the honeymoon part of the lecture tour.
How's that? Impossible.
But why?
You don't understand, Frank. I can't write to her. I can't ask her to marry me. I've never even seen her.
You've never... Sam Clemens, you're out of your mind.
I've seen her picture. And when I saw it, I knew she was the only woman I'd ever want to marry.
You're giving up this tour just to go to Elmira to see a woman who'll picture you fall in love? No, it's not possible. Not possible at all.
Yeah, but it is, Frank. Her brother invited me to spend 2 weeks in Elmira. So tour or no tour, the battle cry is on to Elmira.
Mother, father, this is Mr. Samuel Clemens, the man I told you about on the boat, remember?
I'm very pleased to meet you, Mr. Clemens. Charles told us how solicitous you were.
Well, so you're Olivia's mother.
How do you do, Mr. Clemens?
And you're Olivia's father.
So I am, but frankly, I'm more noted here in Elmira for my business achievements. Why, I'm known as the Coal King.
Your Majesty.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, forgive me. I'm sorry, I was carried away. Well, now, may I be privileged to meet the rest of your family?
Rest of the family? Why, we're all here except Olivia, that is.
Believe me, sir, I wouldn't feel comfortable in your house unless I knew all the members of the household.
Why, what a nice thought.
Nice? Odd, I say.
What's so odd, Father?
Oh. Olivia, dear, I want you to meet our house guest, Mr. Clemens. Gentleman that Charles met on the boat returning from Europe. Mr. Clemens, my daughter.
How do you do? How do you do?
Oh, yes. I wouldn't have believed it. Never in a million years.
What seems to be the trouble, young man?
That any woman in the world could be as beautiful as that picture. And yet here she is. And she's even more...
Young man...
Yes, Mr. Langdon?
I know that my daughter is a very attractive girl. But your manners leave much to be desired. Obviously, you Westerners don't have a high regard for what we in the East refer to as good manners.
On the contrary, Mr. Langdon, we Westerners have a very high regard for good manners. We just don't talk about them as much as you Easterners do.
You're a writer, are you?
Yes, sir.
Young man, don't you know it's proper to look at the person whom you're addressing?
Yes, of course, sir. Well, I guess I was looking at your daughter. And thinking, of course, how fortunate she was to be so lovely and to have you for a father all at the same time.
Indeed. A writer, eh?
Well, you don't seem to approve that.
Doesn't seem a fit occupation for a grown man, just to sit around and write. Don't have an office to go to.
No, sir.
Don't have anything to buy and sell.
No, sir.
Just how do you go about it?
Well, when I get an idea that appeals to me, I sit down and write about it.
And if you shouldn't happen to get an idea?
Then I suppose I wouldn't write.
Strikes me as rather a fly-by-night profession.
Mr. Langdon, have you ever considered what would happen to you if the world should run out of coal?
Why, it's impossible. There'll always be coal.
Well, until I run out of ideas, I'll feel the same way about writing.
Still strikes me as a profession which would be conducive to laziness and failure.
But, Father, Mr. Clemens is not a failure.
Why, Olivia?
Well, sure you know that Mr. Clemens writes under the name of Mark Twain, and he's written several books.
Twain? Twain? Say, are you the fellow who wrote that book about a boy called, what was it now? Yes, Strawberry Finn.
Name was Huckleberry Finn.
Well, Strawberry, Huckleberry, same thing. It was a bad book.
But I loved it, Father. And so did everyone else who read it.
Struck at the roots of America, that book did. Encouraged shiftlessness.
You really liked it, Olivia?
Oh, I did, Mr. Clemens. It must have been a glorious way to spend one's youth. Is that the way you lived when you were born?
No, not quite. In that book, I tried to set down the way every boy would like to live if he had the chance.
I still say it's wrong to encourage boys to live like that.
Mr. Langdon, I can forgive a man almost any crime except that of stealing boyhood from a boy. Charles.
Yes, Mr. Clemens?
Charles, I've got to talk to you. I've got to talk to someone before I bust.
Oh, well, what's the trouble, sir? Haven't you enjoyed your stay with us?
Charles, I'm desperately in love with your sister.
I sort of guessed that.
Yes, I suppose there's nothing so obvious as a man in love. Unless it's a man in love as much as I am. Well, now that you know, what do you think?
Well, sir, I don't want you to misunderstand.
Oh, so you're against me, too.
Oh, it's not that. It's Father.
What do you think I ought to do?
Do you really want my advice?
Of course.
There's a train leaving Elmira in half an hour. I think you should be on it. Why, if Father ever heard of you being in love with Olivia, he'd be furious.
You think it's that hopeless?
I do indeed. I'll have the carriage and team out front by the time you're packed.
All right. I'll be ready in a few minutes.
Clemens, are you leaving?
Oh, Olivia. Yes, I'm going. I wish you'd tell your mother how really grateful I am for her hospitality.
I'll do that.
Thank you. And Olivia?
Yes, Mr. Clemens?
There's a great deal I'd like to tell you before I go. But sometimes a man can't speak about things unless he's first got permission.
Permission? I don't understand.
You share your father's views about writers? You think they're lazy, irresponsible, fly-by-nighters?
Why, no.
You don't? Well, then I've got to tell you.
Mr. Clemens, hurry, we'll miss the train.
Oh, just a minute, Charles.
But we don't have a minute to wait. Please, Mr. Clemens, I'll take your bag. Come on.
Yeah, all right, Charles. But, Olivia, will you walk with me to the door?
Of course.
Olivia.
Yes, Mr. Clemens.
So much I want to say. There's so many things I might write to you if I knew you'd like me to.
I'd be very flattered to receive a letter from you.
You would? Well, in that case...
Mr. Clemens! Mr. Clemens, we'll miss the train.
I guess I'd better go.
Goodbye, Mr. Clemens. And if ever you're in Elmira again, do come and stay with us.
You mean that?
Of course.
Well, that may not be so far away as you think. No, not at all. Goodbye, Olivia.
Hurry, Mr. Clemens. We'll just about make it. Climb aboard.
All right, Charles. Whip your team into a frenzy of speed. We're off to the station.
Hey,
look out! Oh!
Oh! Charles! Charles, come back! There's been an accident! Mr. Clemens has fallen out of the carriage!
Oh! William Powell will We'll be back in just a moment for the second act of tonight's Hallmark drama from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. And now, here's Dick Calmer.
It would seem that Mr. Clemens will have to win Olivia the hard way. But he's making progress, and you know why? Because he showered Olivia with attention. Most everyone likes attention. It's very necessary in a romance like that of Olivia and Mark Twain, but it's also very important in winning and keeping friends. This doesn't mean that you have to do big things. No, it's the little things that count. It's the little attentions that make and keep friendships alive. That's why when you do some thoughtful thing, like sending greeting cards, it means more than you'll ever know. It tells your friends that they're in your mind as well as in your heart. That their important days are important to you, too. It's the little things, like remembering friends with a Hallmark card, that make and keep friendships alive.
That's right, Dick. And remembering friends with Hallmark cards is so easy to do. Because you can find Hallmark cards that say what you want to say the way you want to say it. And now here's a suggestion. I'm sure we all have friends we haven't seen or heard them for a long time. Tomorrow, start renewing those old friendships with Hallmark greeting cards. And be sure to look in the back of the card you send for the words, a Hallmark card. Because for more than a third of a century, those three identifying words, a Hallmark card, have meant the finest in greeting cards. Hallmark cards are on display in America's finest shops and stores. As Dick Calmer said a minute ago, remember, it's the little things, like remembering friends with a Hallmark card, that make and keep friendships alive.
And now we return to William Powell, starring in the role of Mark Twain in He Fell in Love with a Picture. The love-struck young author had just fallen out of the carriage that would have taken him from Olivia, and now he lies seemingly helpless in bed.
Oh, Mr. Clemens. Are you feeling better now? Is this bed comfortable enough for you?
Oh, comfortable? I shall never be comfortable again.
Oh, my dear.
Well, Olivia,
I've sent Charles for the doctor and to get your father. He should be here any minute. How is the poor man?
Well, the pain must be awful. All he does is groan and hold on to my hand.
You can't understand how it could have happened.
An accident, madam. A tragic accident. It almost cut down a man in the prime of his life.
Oh. Great Scott, what's happened here? What in the world was Charles talking about?
It's Mr. Clemens. He fell right out of the carriage just as Charles was driving into the station.
Fell out of the carriage? By the living saints, how could a grown man fall out of a carriage? Has the doctor been here yet?
Well, we expect him at any moment. In the meantime, I'm doing all I can to comfort him.
Olivia, put down that man's hand.
Father, he's in pain.
Yes, in pain. Ooh.
Olivia, leave this room at once.
Oh,
but the poor, poor man.
Olivia!
Yes, Father, I'm going.
And you too, Mother. Yeah, that's right. Just leave the two of us alone. Oh. You can leave off with your groaning, young man.
Oh.
You and I are going to have a talk.
Oh, we are.
Oh. Enough of that. Now, see here, Clemens, I want you to know that I'm not fooled by this shabby trick of yours, falling out of a carriage, indeed.
You don't believe I fell?
I do not.
Well, then maybe I was pushed.
By whom?
Well, the only other person in the carriage was your son, Charles.
That's nonsense, and you well know it. The only reason for this whole theatrical stunt is that it will give you an opportunity to be near my daughter, Olivia.
Sir, you pay me a great compliment when you imply that I would have either the ingenuity or the courage to carry out such a brilliant and risky scheme.
I've had enough of your tomfoolery. Now I advise you to get dressed and leave this house at once.
Oh, I couldn't do it, Mr. Langdon, for your sake.
For my sake?
Well, I shouldn't want it said in Elmira that you turned away an injured man who died at your doorstep.
Died? Why, young man, you're in no more danger of dying than I am.
Oh!
Stop that groaning.
Father?
What do you want, Olivia?
The doctor's here.
Well, it's about time. Send him in.
Oh! Has the doctor gone yet, Olivia?
He's speaking with Father now about your injuries.
Oh.
Feeling better now?
Somewhat. Olivia, there's something I've got to tell you. Ever since the first time I saw you, and it was long before you saw me, Oh!
Stop that infernal droning, young man. The doctor doesn't believe you're seriously hurt.
What does he know? Has he ever been pushed from a moving carriage?
You were not pushed. Besides, he says you're suffering from minor contusions and abrasions.
How lightly you can speak of it, sir. But have you ever been contused or abrased?
I must admit the doctor did advise that you be allowed to remain here for a while.
Oh, he did?
Yes, worse luck. But let me warn you, young man, the very first moment you're able to leave here, you're going.
Oh.
Oh, does it hurt again?
Oh, yes, very badly. My head. I do believe my skull's been fractured.
Oh. There. Is that better?
Oh, much better, Olivia. Oh, the touch of your hand on my brow is more healing than all the drugs any doctor could prescribe. Oh. Olivia.
Yes, Mr. Clemens.
Could you get me a pen and some paper?
Mr. Clemens, you're not thinking of writing your will. It's not that bad.
No, Olivia, but I am going to write a letter. There must be some way to convince your father, and I think I've found it.
Oh, Sam, we're so brave of you to lecture today.
Well, you think I lecture that badly?
Oh, I didn't mean that. I meant it was brave of you to get out of your sick bed to lecture to the women's club.
I only did it because you asked me to.
And I'm very happy you did. Everyone loved you.
Everyone? You too?
Yes, Sam.
Olivia, I think this is the permission I've been waiting for. I love you. I loved you ever since I saw your picture.
Please, Sam.
If you're thinking about what your father will say, don't. Because when two people really love each other, nothing else matters. And you do love me, don't you?
I...
Olivia, do you love me?
Sam,
I said, you don't love me.
But I do. I do.
Well, then what's there to cry about?
Oh, I do love you, Sam, but to be in love with a writer, it feels so... it's so awful. Going, Sam?
We're going to walk right in on your father and tell him we're in love. And that we're going to be married.
Oh, Sam, please, I'm so afraid.
There's nothing to be afraid of anymore, dear. I think by this time your father is quite convinced that I'm a perfectly sober, respectable citizen.
But I don't understand.
Let's go see your father. You'll find out soon enough. You ready?
All right, Sam. I'm ready.
Good.
Oh, Clemens, come to say goodbye.
Mr. Langdon, I've come to say a good deal more than that.
Indeed.
Mr. Langdon... your daughter Olivia and I, we love each other.
Olivia!
Yes, Father?
Do you really love this writer, this Westerner?
Yes, Father.
You see, sir? And now, we want to get married.
Married? Do I look like the kind of father who would allow his daughter to marry a virtual stranger, a writer, a man without a steady job? Besides, how do I know what kind of husband you'll make her?
Unless I'm very much mistaken, sir, you've got the truth about that by now.
Have I?
Yes, sir. Some time ago, I wrote a letter to Mr. Joseph Goodman in San Francisco. He's a man you once did business with. And since he knows me, I took the liberty of writing him for a personal recommendation. I believe you received his letter this morning.
Oh, yes, yes. I did receive a letter from Joe this morning.
So you see, sir, I will make your daughter a good husband.
You'll make my daughter a good...
Mr. Langdon, this isn't a laughing matter.
Oh, no? Well, perhaps you'd like to read the letter I got from Joe.
Why, yes.
Well, here it is.
Dear Mr. Langdon, Sam Clemens asked me to write this letter of recommendation to you. This much I'll say for him. He's the greatest writer in America. But...
but he'll make your daughter the world's worst husband.
Oh, Sam.
And I've lied for Joe 100 times. And you think he'd lie for me just once.
Seems no one, not even your own friends, will vouch for you.
please, Mr. Langdon. This isn't funny, not for me.
And neither is what I'm about to do.
What do you mean, sir?
If no one else will vouch for you, then I will.
You what?
You heard me.
Oh, Father, you've made me so happy.
Oh, Mr. Langdon, I can't tell you what this means to me.
You don't have to. Your persistence convinced me. Any man who loved my daughter that much couldn't make her a bad husband.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Langdon.
I never expected it of you.
I guess I started feeling differently about you when I reread your Huckleberry Finn the other night.
Say, is it true what you said that first night at dinner about every boy longing for that kind of childhood?
I think so, sir.
And I used to think I was the only one. I can see now why your book is so popular. It's every man's dream come true.
This is my dream come true. That first time I saw Olivia's picture became my dream. First, I thought no girl could be so beautiful. But Olivia is. Then I thought she never could belong to me. And now she does. That's a dream come true, Mr. Langdon.
So began the romance of Mark Twain, the man who fell in love with the picture and married the beautiful girl he saw there. Well, Bill, that was a swell performance, but it's a far cry from your usual work, playing a story that's 80 years old.
Oh, a span of 80 years doesn't make so much difference, Dick.
No?
Well, I don't think so. Important things remain the same. You remember the story that Constance Foster told in the Reader's Digest? About the farmer who was asked if he had finished plowing the cornfield. And he replied, "No, but the land will be there tomorrow."
Yes, I remember that. And I remember the conclusion Constance Foster drew from that.
Yes, very beautiful and a very wise conclusion.
I know. I think our listeners would like to hear you repeat it right now, Bill.
The quiet of night, the steady burning of the stars, the laughter of children, smile on the face of a friend. These things belong in the forever category. So does the love of man for woman, the parent for child, the brother for sister. Hair may turn gray, but family devotion makes us see those we love as perpetually beautiful. It's a stockade within which we are safe against the arrows of the years.
This is Tom Shirley speaking for the makers of Hallmark greeting cards and reminding you that you can find just the right Hallmark cards to send your friends to say what you want to say the way you want to say it. And remember, when you want to send a card that means more, be sure to look in the back of the card you choose for the words "a Hallmark card." For more than a third of a century, those three identifying words "a Hallmark card" have meant the finest in greeting cards.
You are cordially invited to be with us again next week at this same time for another fine dramatic program brought to you by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards, America's favorite greeting cards. At that time, you'll hear a warm, human, delightful comedy about a couple of young Americans named Mr. and Mrs. Cougat. And our star will be Constance Bennett.
Appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Jerome Kern's Technicolor musical, Till the Clouds Roll By. He Fell in Love with the Picture was dramatized by Henry Denker from a story in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Loeb, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From October 17, 1946, He Fell in Love with the Picture, an episode of Radio Reader's Digest. If there are old-time radio programs you remember and would like to hear again, or if you just want to talk about old-time radio, drop me a line at Dan, D-A-N, at radiofun.info. Thanks for listening. In the Old Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.